Father, as we come tonight before you, we're so thankful for the privilege to enter your presence, to stand before you, Lord. We're thankful for each and every one here tonight. And Father, at this time, we just give this service to you. We ask right now that the Holy Spirit lead this service, guide it, and that that anointing from up on high come down upon each and every one here tonight, Father. May we all begin to understand that thy kingdom has come and thy will is being done through each and every life in here, Father, that we are instruments for you to use, and that, Father, above all things, we're up and about our Father's business. And we're able to stand, Lord, stand for the price that was paid, that Jesus paid for us all. Now, Father, we're so thankful to be here tonight. And the service is yours in Jesus' name.
Amen. All the people said.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 This is going to be one different night. I'm not surprised that we have so many people here tonight for benefit of the tape. I think that at last count we had 23, not counting kids and not counting Sue and I. So that's pretty good. We're going to have to believe God for a bigger house or something for long, you know. But I'm not surprised because this is an unusual night, and you're going to know why I say that in just a little bit. I got to give you a little bit of a review, about how the Lord, what he said to us when Sue and I started in this ministry a little over a year ago, a year and a half ago. Now, you have to understand this part in order to understand what's coming. Financially, here's what he told us to do. I mean, he gave us our instructions concerning the Bible study and how we were to do it. And financially, though, this was his instructions, which I'd never heard of any ministry operating like this. And I'm not saying any other ministry ought to operate like this. I'm just, you know, I like what Yanji Cho says when they ask him, how is it that you're so successful? He says, got them little Chinese eyes, you know, Korean eyes. I pray and I obey. Okay. Well, that's it, you know. And so what I'm telling y'all, I prayed and here's what the Lord said and we obeyed that. But what he told us was, he says, all right, take up no offerings directly from the people that come to Thursday night. Take up no offerings. Thought that was interesting. He said, make all of the materials, the tapes, the printed materials, now notebooks, make that all available free just for the asking. And I knew we were going to be mailing some. And he says, when it comes time to mail them, you pay all the postage, the boxes to ship them, the mailers, everything. And by this point, I'm starting to get a little nervous, you know. And so I asked him, I said, can I at least put in a return envelope? And he said, no. Okay. And I went, well, I prayed. Now comes the obeying part. Now, what he said to us was this. He said, if you will exactly follow those instructions, then I myself will speak to the people I choose to support both you and the ministry. And for over 20 months now, he's been doing exactly that. Exactly that. We have yet, as y'all know, to ever ourselves take up any offering here, have we? Can I get a witness for the benefit of the tape?
Amen.
Amen. Never has happened. Some people, God has moved on others sometimes to do that, and that's fine. He didn't say anything about that. He just told us not to do it. Now, I've got a reason for saying all this. Now, when he told me that, I knew part of the reason. Part of the reason was, well, you know that standard thing that goes around all the time, preachers are just after your money. Okay? You know, they're just doing this really because they're after your money. Are y'all pretty well convinced after 20 months, Sue and I are not after your money? We're not after your money. We haven't, you know, taken any offerings or anything like that. This is not about your money. What we're trying to do is get you to understand God so He can send you some money. Okay? That's what tonight's about too. But I knew that had a lot to do with it because a lot of people have been burned, or at least they feel like they have been in churches, you know. And maybe they really have been. And so they say, oh, them preachers are all the same. They're just after your money. So I knew that was one excuse he wanted to take away from the devil. about what we're doing. Okay? And it's not wrong to take up offerings. Don't get me wrong. I'm just telling you what he told me. Well, I understood that part. I understood also that he wanted to teach me more about how to walk by faith, how to live by faith. Now, the only penalty for coming in late is that you get your name mentioned on the tape, like Linda Proctor just come in. Hi, Linda. Come on in. We'll find a chair for you somewhere. Here, you can have this one, because I don't think I'm going to need it.
Thank you.
That makes 24 here tonight. Hallelujah. By the way, Linda, you heard God to be here. Huh? Oh, hallelujah. Well, okay, point one, he wanted to take away that excuse from the devil about, preachers are just after your money. Point two, I knew one thing for sure, if that was going to work, I was going to have to grow in faith. Can y'all say amen?
Amen.
I was going to have to learn some things about God to live like this, because, Bill and some of y'all haven't heard our whole testimony, but, I mean, it got real bad looking. You know, when you start obeying God, who comes immediately to steal the word that was sown in your heart? Boy, I'm telling you, all kinds of trouble came. Looked like it wasn't working. We had to keep doing it. There were some nights when I was preaching you guys that prosperity message, and we were behind on everything. My mind went through every avenue it could. How can I sneak in an offering? You know, the natural part of me, the human, that part of me that's not born again, And I wouldn't do it. I said, no. If we're going to go down, believe in God. And of course, as long as you like that, you're not going to go down. Hallelujah. Now, I said all that to say this. What I didn't understand until last week, actually, the last day of August, when that month ended, and I prepared what I'm fixing to show you here in just a minute, and I've got a reason for not doing it yet. When I saw that, then I understood another reason why he wanted us to live this way, for at least for a while. Now, he may change. You see, I'm still praying. You got to find out your instructions. They don't stay the same for 20 years. I mean, he's alive, The Bible talks about today, if you hear his voice, do what he says. Well, I got to find out what he says tomorrow. But so far, he hasn't changed our instructions. But here's the other reason why. When I was in school, we would have what's called research lab. Okay, y'all do research, I think, where you work. And the important thing about a laboratory, if you're going to do experiments, you got to be careful that there's nothing in the laboratory that would skew the data, affect the data, corrupt it, so that you couldn't draw conclusions from it. In other words, if it was a medical laboratory, you'd have to be sure it was sterile, right? If you had a laboratory where you were going to be testing people's nervous level and their agitation level, you wouldn't probably want rap music playing thunderously in the background, okay? You see what I'm saying? Because that would skew the data. Well, one thing about us, I didn't realize this, but economically, if you wanted to see, how do I put this? If you wanted to see the effects of the principles of the Word of God, Sue and I, our house here, the way we live, is a pretty good laboratory, because the only money we get comes from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Remember what he said? He would speak to the people he chose to support us. So, in other words, Sue and I were living in the same house that we started with. Thank you. We're living in the same house. We're driving the same car. We've got better clothes. We've got nicer equipment than we had when we started all this. And what I'm telling you is, you can't say, well, it's because Gary's a good offering taker. It's not because he's charismatic and can speak well and takes up good offerings, because I don't take up any offerings. There's nothing like that to skew the data. You see what I'm saying? There's nothing there to interfere with it. So, if I had never thought about this until he started dealing with me the last week of the month, last month. But he said, he wanted me to start putting this on a graph, our income. And me knowing the history of the whole year, when I got it on the graph, it was real obvious to me, some things I had never realized before. Okay, but you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to say it one more, just a little different. I want to make sure everybody on the tape and everybody here understands. What we're going to look at is the laws of finances, some of them that govern the kingdom. And we're going to look at them through the income that God sends Sue and I, because we don't get any income other than what we receive from Him. Neither one of us work a regular job. You don't think we work, come over here. We work, okay? But what I'm saying is there is no income from any other source. I get no pension. None of us get any kind of pension, Social Security. There's nothing else going on here, what I'm telling you. Any money we get, God sends it through the obedience of people He speaks to, or we just don't get it. Okay? You got that? You understand that? All right, with that in mind, we get about half of these. Let's start these around. And I will need one. And let me see. We start some down this way. And start some around that way, if y'all don't care. And if you'll do me a favor tonight, don't open your ring binders and put them in right now, because, boy, that poppity, poppity, poppity noise on the tapes, you've heard it probably. We can put them in there when I turn the tape over or something, okay? By the way, I'm very proud of this little chart. I worked hard on this computer to make it look like that. I had to build this thing. Hallelujah. Did you get one? Okay, there's still... There we go. Oh, she got one now. Just keep it. Okay, just keep it over there somewhere. Now, I titled this... Okay, before we even do any reading, let's talk about the graph. And for benefit of the tape, I'm going to have to be very visual here, okay? What I'm holding in, what everybody's holding in their hand is a page. At the top it says, The Power of Confession. There's a graph on this page, all right? those bottom JFM, of course, that's January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August of 1996. It's a bar chart, so every month has a bar coming up. And I didn't actually put the dollar amounts over here on the left-hand column, because, quite frankly, it's none of your business. Okay? But I did it in a ratio form. In other words, what that means is if you multiplied this number times another number, you could, you know, you would know how much money came in. But how much is not the point. The pattern is what's important here. Okay? Now, let me go ahead and read this top part. The graph shown below charts our monthly income for the year 1996. The vertical numbers on the left side of the graph show our income as a ratio, not in actual dollar amounts. The lesson to be learned is that while my confession of God's Word was steady during the months of January through April, there was steady increase in our income. Now look down at the chart. You see January? See February? See, you know, March? Those are almost equal stair steps. Same thing in April, right? Y'all remember the lesson a couple of weeks ago about remember the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. Y'all remember what the Hebrew word profit means? Higher and higher. Always increasing. Isn't that a good picture? January, February, March, April. Okay? Now, okay, I'm going to not read it anymore. I'm just going to tell you about the graph. You can read that later. Okay? Because it's the same step, but I just feel more like this. Okay. I got to give you a little history, remind y'all. Remember last year when God had such a hard time getting me to confess the Word? If you haven't heard that tape, it's called... Yes, Sue remembers it. It's called Obedience is Better Than Sacrifice. He kept dealing with me and kept dealing with me. Son, confess my Word. In my case, He wanted me doing it 4 hours a day. And boy, I planned on doing it every day. Fully intended to do it every day. And when the next day came, I would wind up not doing it. If you want to hear the whole thing, there was reasons why. Basically, it's overcoming the flesh, if you want to know the truth of it. But that tape is called Obedience is Better Than Sacrifice. All right? I finally started obeying Him. Sure enough, He started coming through for us financially. And if y'all remember, the day before Christmas, God sent somebody that caught us up on all of our bills through the end of the year. Y'all remember that? Well, I pretty well learned my lesson on that right there. So as January came around, now January, February, March, and April, I was pretty doggone consistent with my confession. I'm talking about walking the floor and confessing the Word. walking the floor and confessing the Word. Okay? And also my prayer time. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, as long as I was doing that, does that look like the Lord God that teaches thee to profit? Higher and higher. Step by step, increase, increase. They're almost equal steps. January, February, March, April. Our income just kept going up. And remember, we're not doing anything to generate any income. I don't sell wallets that never go empty. You know what I mean? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't send you a prayer shawl that if you wear this every day, you'll never be sick, and charge you $100, you know. We don't do any of those things. We don't do anything like that. The money we get from God or we don't get it. All right, now watch. Let's talk about May. That was the first time we dropped a little bit. It was an increase, but very tiny. It wasn't at the same rate. May was the month when I was selling that rent house. And I was working and working and working on that thing. And I did pretty good, but I'll be honest with you, my confession dropped off in May. But, you know, and if you look at the chart, you'll notice the rate of increase dropped off in May. He still sent a little more, but it was just a very little more. Now, here's the thing. How many of y'all have heard Pastor Dave teach people in third world countries that have all kinds of adversity, they're very dedicated to God. But if you bring them here with our level of prosperity and after they live in prosperity for a little while, it's funny how their dedication to God drops off. Did y'all notice June on your chart? Do you know why? May 30th, we closed on that rent house, and I had the fun and the privilege of sitting here and writing out every debt that we owed. We paid off everything that day. Car, all the Visa bills, anything that we owed of any kind, that day, over $23,000 worth, gone. We were debt-free. Now, what do you think my flesh wanted to do right after that?
Party.
We're going to take a big-time rest. You know, I haven't seen any movies in I don't know how long. So, you know, it'd come up time to, you know, to that were normally before when I was under the gun and the bills were behind. Normally, I'd have been, my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory. Now it was, honey, have we rented any movies lately? Maybe we ought to, you know, just kind of spend the evening. You know, not that there's anything wrong with, you know, with seeing a movie once, but you understand what I'm saying? What I'm telling you, I took a vacation spiritually in June. Now, disaster immediately happened. Look at June. I mean, it's almost down to the same level of where we started in January. It was like a 50% reduction. Kaboom. Okay? Now, listen, everything else is the same. That's what y'all got to understand. I was still praying in tongues. We were still going to every service at Dave's. We were still teaching the Bible studies. We weren't off into any kind of deep sin or anything like that to cause it. The only thing that I can understand, knowing how our life was during that period, the confession. I just quit doing it. It was kind of eat, drink, and be merry, you know. You'll just kind of take it easy here for a while. Well, even though we were debt-free, do y'all know being debt-free does not mean you still don't have bills to pay? You know, we rent here, okay? We got a rent to pay and electric to pay and computer paper to buy and tapes to buy. And, you know, there's bills, right? Food. How many of y'all, you know, food? Gasoline. Okay. You know, just little things like that. You know, food. Clothes. Well, by golly, even though we had such a wonderful victory in June and was able to pay off so much of that, I mean, all of the bills, I mean, okay, at the end of May, in June, I was already starting to get in a little bit of trouble again. Just on the normal month-to-month bills. And my lightning quick mind went, let's see now, what's different? Oh, maybe he still means for me to do that confession stuff. Walking around and confessing the Word. Now, here's the sad part. Here's the sad part. Boy, the flesh, you give it an inch, it'll take a mile. It was almost as hard getting started back again as it was the first time around. I mean, once that my flesh had a month off of just eat, drink, be merry, and we'll just, you know, watch a little more TV and go to a few more movies. And not that any of that's wrong. The point is, it took my time. That's the point. It took my time. Man, my flesh didn't want to give that up easy. How's it Dave puts it? He says, when it comes to adversity, the flesh is always looking for a way out. But when it comes to pleasure, the flesh is always looking for a way in. It liked that sitting around on the couch and watching three movies in the evening. It liked that sitting there eating popcorn and, you know, and knowing all the debts are paid off. I mean, and it's not bad to rejoice, but it is bad to quit doing what God said. That's the bad part. I just flat quit doing it. But now I want you all to understand again. The only thing really, so I was able to do it some more in July. Look what happened. Sure enough, our income came up. I increased it a little, and our income came up a little. Well, by the end of that month, even I was beginning to understand, this ain't working. I better get back to obeying what I heard when I was praying. You know? So I made a commitment. I made a commitment to the Lord. All right, when August 1st comes around, I'm getting back with the program. And I mean August, I did. Every day. Now, I didn't, be honest with you, I did not go back to the 4 hours a day. The reason why? I didn't need to anymore. That's what I need. How many of y'all remember those old water pumps that you used to have in the back of farmhouses with the handle? You know, and if that thing, you know, if it hadn't been used in a while, well, you're trying to get water out of that thing, you got to pump and pump and pump, and there's just air coming out, you know, and pump and pump and pump. Sometimes you got to prime it and pump and pump and pump, and you work your arm off trying to get the water started. Now, once the water starts, then you just, you know, steady pressure. It'll just keep pumping as long as you keep that steady pressure. Now, if you quit, it's going to be tough again. You're going to have to pump and pump and pump. Well, all I really did, I'm trying to tell you all accurately so you can do this, okay? All I really did, the basic procedures that we have just went through for the first time in your workbooks, the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer type pattern, I would basically worship the Lord for a little while. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In the mornings, I would spend time telling the Lord, my life is yours. I love you, Father. I'm here to serve you the rest of my life. Not my will, but thine be done. I'd be doing that some. When it come to the give us this day our daily bread, all of those things that I have given you guys, those scriptures for financial increase, y'all know what I'm talking about. Every one of you's got them. I literally said those every day. I said every confession in the white Charles Capps book that I've given you. And I said every confession in the healing Charles Capps book that I gave you. Every one of them, every day. It only takes about an hour to do this. Then I would check the next section, which is forgive us our debts as we forgive those who, you know, sin against us. I'd make sure, check my heart, make sure I had no resentment, no bitterness, or anything like that. Then, thank the Father for the leadership of His Spirit. Thank Him for delivering me from evil. And thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And basically, that's what I would do. Now, that process takes about an hour to just read them through and say them. That's what I want you to understand, that's what I did. The important part was the speaking the Word. Confession the Word. Oh, one other thing I did. I repented, in my case, of sin. Sin? Kevin, you know, fairly new in the Lord. Been a few months. He asked me one night. See, because the emphasis at Bible study here, where, you know, everybody in here is born again. What we're trying to figure out, how do we operate more successfully in the kingdom? Isn't that right?
That's right.
Isn't that what we're trying to do here? Okay, so the emphasis here is on becoming doers of the Word for people that are already born again. All right? Well, Kevin's pretty new. And so every week he'd come, there's more, I need to do this. And, well, I need to pray and I need to confess the Word. So one night he says, am I still saved? Okay. Look at your charts again. In June and July, would I have gone to heaven those nights?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'd have happened to die either one of those months, it had nothing to do with my salvation. What we're talking about is the devil, and we're going to talk about that, was able to rob me of that much money. Okay? We're going to get to that in just a minute because that's really important. We're not talking about salvation here. The blood of Jesus is enough. That gets you in. They're looking for blood at the gates into heaven. All right? If you've got the blood, you're in there. If you got that, what we're talking about is operating successfully in the kingdom. Now, since I mentioned the devil, let me just ask you. Can y'all... Okay. I got to back up. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. The reason that's important about me repenting of sin and the reason I called it sin, I've got that scripture, James 4:17, down at the bottom. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, Gary Carpenter, it is sin. I knew what God said. I knew what he told me about walking the floor and confessing the word. For me not to do it, what would you guys call it? Huh? Sin. Now, see, when we think of sin, we always think of smoking and chewing and going with girls that are doing. Let me tell you what else is sin. Let me tell you really what sin is. You want to hear what sin is? When God comes to Daryl and says, Daryl, I want you... God comes and says, Daryl, I want you to walk across the street and feed that stray cat. And Daryl refuses. That's sin. Get it straight. That is sin. Sin is rebellion against the Lord your God. I'm telling you again, to prosper in life, whatever he says to you, do it. Okay? Now, would Daryl go to hell if he didn't walk across the street and feed the cat? No. Absolutely. It's got nothing to do with that. You understand, Kevin? It's got nothing to do with that. Okay? But the problem is you build a pattern of rebellion in your life, it's going to be hard to obey God. You start hardening your conscience. You see? Because the next time he might say, next time maybe he was wanting to bring a big old blessing to Daryl. You know? And he says, I want you to give $50 to so-and-so. And if he says no that time too, now maybe God this time fully intended to bless Daryl back with $1,000 for his obedience and giving. But since Daryl's gotten in a pattern, I could pick anybody, I just happen to pick Daryl. But since Daryl's gotten in a pattern of disobeying now, you know, he hardly even hears that. That $50 instruction comes through his brain, he goes, just pass that off and go on to something else and forget all about it. I mean, 99% of Christians you know live like that. And that's why God has a hard time blessing them. Okay? Now, when I repented of my sin, I want you to look what the Lord did. Look at August. Now, for those of you that may not be real familiar with bar charts, let me explain something to you. Look, you see that diagonal line that connects the first column with the last one? Notice how it passes through the tops of the first 4 months. It's just perfect. It touches the tops of the first 4 months. In other words, if that's called a slope or a rate of increase line. Okay? You project that on out, and look what happened in August. Within $50. I know what the real numbers are. Within $50, it hit that same rate. Now, what that means is, you guys, in August, he treated me, after I repented, he treated me as if I had never disobeyed him. He sent money in August as if I had obeyed him perfectly in June and July. He didn't make me start all over again and take little baby steps back up the ladder like the first few months. He says, see, that's what we don't understand. We sin, we know we sin, we repent. Now, what does the Bible say? He forgets. He forgives, forgets, tosses it in the sea of forgetfulness. See, I had never seen such a graphic demonstration of that as this right here. He really did. Far as heaven's concerned, there is no record in heaven that I did not confess the word in June and July. I know it. There's no record up there. If you tried to find it, you can't find it. Yeah, but if you try and accuse me before God, if you was to go and say, I know Gary did not confess the word in June and July, God would say, open Gary's file to one of the angels, Gabriel probably. Open that file. Let me take a look at Gary's file here. Nope. No disobedience at all in June and July. I'm sorry, sir. There, You're just mistaken. This man obeyed me perfectly in June and July. See, because what happens when he washes away our sin, I'll try that Oklahoma wash for me. When he washes away our sin with the blood of Jesus, do you know what remains? What remains? The righteousness of Jesus. Everyone, right there's a good place to raise your hands and praise God. Hallelujah. When he washes away your disobedience, the righteousness that's left is Jesus' obedience. Oh, that's good. Because you know what? Then he can pay you not based on what you're worth. Then he can pay you or bless you based on what Jesus is worth. How many of you rather get... How'd you like to get blessed based on Jesus' worth? Amen? I can get witness on that. Now the problem is most of us are going to God based on our works. And you're getting paid for what you're worth. How many of you like it? No hands for benefit of the tape are going up. You know, it's a whole lot better. This is why that whole foundation I taught back there on kingdom finances, it's not your giving that is the foundation of your prosperity. It is the poverty that Jesus bore for you on the cross. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Right there is your foundation. So when I repented of my sin, immediately in the, the treasuries of heaven, they get to looking and they're going, well, man, this guy has quite an inheritance coming here. He's actually got the riches of Christ available to him. And so the blessings come in just as if I had obeyed perfectly. Now remember, Sue and I have no way of manipulating these numbers. This is the way it happened. We don't take up any offerings. We don't work a secular job. We don't sell anything. Everything we have is free. It's just God. What do y'all think? You think that pattern would happen by accident? Absolutely not. There's no way. I'm telling you, when I was in college and we would run, you know, they would train you. You've done this kind of stuff, taking what they call empirical data. They have a theory. They have a theory, and they say, well, let's go out. We'll try this out in the world. So they'll go out and take measurements based on that theory. Then they come back in, and they plot it on a chart. And I'm telling you, from the world, when we used to do that out in the natural, the whole point was to put X's to fall a little ways above and below the line that you're trying to prove. Okay? This one hits perfect. It hits right through the tops of every single one of them. Okay? I've never even seen data in the natural that hit that close. This is mathematically, can you say calculable? I've already calculated the formula on this thing. I'm not going to tell you what it is. At that rate of growth, I can tell you what our income will be in December. I can tell you what it'll be in March next year. I can tell you what it'll be in 3 years. Now, then I got to asking the Lord. Well, Lord, obviously I can do things to change the downside of this graph. I wonder if there's anything I could do to increase the slope up. What do y'all think? Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. What would you do, Brother Gary? The only you pray and you obey. You ask for an increase. You say, I'd like an increase in my slope, please. And he'll say, fine, do this. And right about there, you'll go, oh, I didn't want to do that. Well, it's your choice then.
I don't have time.
Yeah. Y'all do remember what he told me. I'm not saying he will tell you this. Fine, Gary. You want me to supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Fine. That's good with me. I want you to walk, besides your praying in tongues, in addition to that, I want you to walk the floor and confess the word 4 hours a day. Angie, you... I got Angie to promise me, because my girls won't lie to me. And I got her to promise me when she left here one night, for her head hit the pillow that night, just two verses, wasn't it? Psalms 34:10 and Philippians 4:19. I said, just all I want you to do is just speak those one right after the other for 15 minutes. In a little while, my phone rang. Oh, my God! That 15 minutes seemed like 3 hours. I can't believe you did that for 4 hours a day. Well, what do y'all think? You think it was worth it? You looking at the chart? You pray and you obey. Now, if any one of you goes home and starts confessing these 4 hours a day, I'll slap you. It will do you no good to imitate what he told me. You understand? Don't go doing that 4 hours a day. You may not need it. You may not be as messed up as I was. I had a lot of poverty doctrine. I did not understand how God worked. And I mean, the first day there was no change. You understand me? Except I was real tired and my throat was real sore. Okay? And the second day, I'm telling you, there was no change. When I started that, way back. No change, except my throat was more sore, and I hated it even worse than before I started. And the third day and the fourth day, and I don't know how long this went on. I mean, it was a while. But I remember, I was walking the floor, and I'm going to tell you something that you think you understand. And I'm sorry to tell you, you don't. Because hearing the words in your head and hearing them in your heart are two different things. I'm on the verge of tears right now. It's the Holy Spirit with intercession. He wants you to spend time with Him because He wants to do this for every one of you. He wants to do this for every one of you. What I'm fixing to tell you was this. I remember the day I was walking the floor and I was doing it again, and I'm going to do it just like I did it. Now, this is as dead and as dry as anything you ever heard in your life. Psalms 34:10. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack. Those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Over and over again. Over and over again. Over and over again. By now, this has probably been going on several weeks. And I have not got nothing out of it, really. But I know what God said. Everyone say, He knew what God said.
He
prayed.
And
He obeyed.
I
was walking the floor doing that, and something, I don't know what you call this, revelation, perhaps, some people, one minute I could say it, the next minute I could see it. I don't know how else to put it. One minute, I'm walking the floor confessing these scriptures. The next minute, in my heart, it was impossible for me to believe God would not supply for us. As difficult as it was in the beginning to believe that He could, without me working a natural job, without taking up offerings, giving away everything free, no return envelopes, as crazy as that sounded to me in the beginning, all I'm telling you is one day it changed. And all of a sudden, my God shall supply all of my need. Do you understand me, Johnny? God that can't lie? God, you know. Jehovah. And it's sworn in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. You telling me my God won't supply my needs? Come here now. You know? You get fighting mad about it. What are you trying to tell me my God won't supply? Who? You know? It was impossible for me to think like that. Okay? That my God wouldn't supply my needs. It just happens, Tammy. I don't know how long it'll take for you. I don't know how long it'll take for anybody in here. You understand what I'm saying? All I'm telling you, it happens. I believe that Jesus loves me, Brother Gary. And I believe that I'll just keep giving my money in the bucket when it comes by. And I believe that He'll pay off all of my bills. Don't you, Brother Gary? No, I don't. I think you're trying to get it by works, based on your giving, and it does not work that way. Your giving is involved. Your giving is involved, but that there is no life in those dollar bills that you plunk in that bucket. And I hate to say it, but it's a lot like this because it was a lot like this for me. How many of y'all believe in faithful giving? I do. regular giving, percentage, tithe, whatever, you know, giving something, regular. But I'm telling you, here's how it's come now in most Christians. We pay the electric bill, we pay the water bill, we pay the gas bill, and on Sundays we pay God. Now, that's just about the way it is. Very little reverence, very little worship, hardly anybody confessing the anointing of increase over their seed. Hardly anybody taking a little time. Do y'all know I seldom ever go to church without knowing ahead of time what we're going to give? Well, and I don't mean just because I can multiply 10% times something, because a lot of times it's more, sometimes it's less than that. Depends on what he tells us. I spend time with him before we go. Now, sometimes he does tell me right during the service. But in Malachi, it wasn't like we've been taught, although it's in there, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, you know, and so forth and so on. But that's not the lesson from Malachi. The lesson from Malachi, what they were bringing with no reverence. They were bringing with no respect. They were bringing with no appreciation and no love for God. So the point is, your giving is involved, but the attitude of the heart is so much more involved. And the words of your mouth are so much involved. And to be honest with you, looking around this room, I know the people in this room, they're givers. They're givers. So the problem is not so much on the giving. When I woke up this morning, minding my own business, praying in other tongues, sort of mumbling, you know how you do when you first get up, I love you, Jesus, you know, stumbling towards the coffee pot, you know. All of a sudden, I heard the Holy Ghost say, go start the computer and write down 15 reasons why confession works. Okay?
Was that your reaction?
Oh, so I went and sat down, and he gave them to me as fast as I could type them. 15 reasons why confession of the Word of God works. All right? Number one, it activates the anointing of the Lord Jesus. Look at number two. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Do y'all understand that? What that means is, those two put together, part of his anointing is to bring to pass the Word of God that he hears coming out of your mouth. If there are no words coming out of your mouth, pray tell me, what is he supposed to use his anointing on? For crying out loud, two and two still make four. He's the high priest of your confession. When your confession lines up with the Word, right? Did he hear you confess anything like that today? I like him. He went, uh-uh. Nope. No, he didn't. Okay? He didn't hear me much. He didn't hear me in June either. So wonder, if it wasn't for his mercy, I'm just glad he sent us something. So, you know, he didn't hear me either in June. Look at that, you know, remember that graph? He didn't have anything to use the anointing on. I didn't give him any raw material. I watched movies. I did a lot of stuff, you know, but I didn't spend any time confessing the Word. Well, he doesn't have anything for his anointing of increase to work on. Do y'all remember those lessons we taught about the anointing of increase? Do you remember Ezekiel and the dry bones? Do y'all remember that? Nothing happened until Ezekiel spoke. You remember? All right. Same thing. It activates the anointing of the Lord Jesus. Two, Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Three, the Holy Spirit performs what he hears. Do y'all remember creation in the beginning? God said, let there be, and there was. Now, who was it hovering over the earth? It was the Holy Spirit. So he's the doer, right? He didn't do nothing till he heard. Guess what? He still don't. No, he doesn't either. When he hears it coming out your mouth, he performs the Word of God that he hears. Does Christ live in you guys?
Amen.
When you are we, as the body of Christ, part of the body is at the mouth? Would you say it's the mouth of Christ on earth? Okay, when you're speaking the Word of God as the mouth of Christ on earth, Do you think the Holy Spirit's going to pay any attention to that? Did He in the beginning? Huh?
Yes.
A little louder for Joni and Nancy's sake. Yes, amen. He still does. But if you keep, if Jesus had never spoken back there in Genesis, or if God had never spoken, light be, y'all think there'd be any light today? No. We're all a hoping and a wishing for prosperity. We ain't doing no speaking. God, the Holy Spirit, performs what He hears coming out of the mouth of Christ, which your mouth is the mouth of Christ on the earth. You get your mouth speaking His words, now the Holy Ghost has got something to do. That's good stuff. Good, hallelujah. 4. The angels, in Psalms it says, the angels hearken unto the voice of the Word of God. Not the Word of God, they hearken unto the voice of the Word of God. Now you can sit and read your Bible all day, and that's good, that's better than nothing. But the angels don't hearken to that. The angels hearken when you give voice to the Word of God. How many of you would like your angels reaping in some of that harvest? Bringing it in. Okay? Amen. Get it coming out your mouth. 5. The fifth reason. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I mean, you can't help but hear it when you yourself are saying it. And you, besides that, you believe yourself more. I know Tanya believes herself more than she believes anybody else. If she hears herself saying 1,000 times, "My God supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus," Tanya goes, "That's a real smart person saying that. I believe that person." And it won't be long. She'll be going, somebody say, "Oh, we don't know how we're going to, you know, pay the bills this month." "My God shall supply all of our need. I know how we're going to pay the bills this month." You know? She'll even get herself convinced. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay? The sixth reason. Renewal of the mind causes transformation from the world. Y'all remember in Romans 12, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. That does have a whole lot to do with praying in other tongues. Amen. But the Holy Spirit, what He's trying to do is bring you the understanding of the Word. He's trying to transform you from a person who thinks like the world. Here's a person who thinks like the world. Whatever the world says, that's it. We got inflation is coming. Bad times, recession is coming. You hear that on the news. And if you're programmed by the world, uh-oh, we better start taking action based on that. Okay? And you'll start talking that, getting that coming out of your mouth, and worry starts setting in. The lesson we taught last week, worry violates grace. Worry is calling God a liar. Okay? Now you've cut yourself off from the help of the Holy Ghost, and it won't be long. You'll be getting just what you're saying. You'll be the first one laid off, and things will be bad, and you'll be in recession too. If you've been confessing the Word, though, and it didn't matter what the world says. Do y'all understand Sue and I are not getting any money from the world? Do you understand that? My God will supply our needs if He has to send ravens overhead dropping gold out of their mouth. Do you understand me? It's got nothing to do with that. And it doesn't matter if you're, you know, I know God has not called all of you guys to preach. I understand that. He's called some of you to make millions to help support us guys who do. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? But just because you're in the world with a job, that doesn't mean you're of the world. Gerald gave his testimony that night about, I said, going, "Gerald, how did God bring you from where you was? I know where you was 12 years ago. You know, was working out in the yard just by the hour to where you are now." And he says, basically what he said, he didn't say it this way, but he basically said, "I pray and I obey." He says, "I acknowledge God in everything I do. I check with Him. I listen for the leadership of the Spirit." And I also know this about him in those early days. You wouldn't have caught him missing a church service. He never missed a Thursday night Bible study. Listening to tapes all the time. Hagin, Copeland, different ones. Praying in other tongues, even though all he did have in the beginning was kind of a, like that. You know? Diligent, diligent, diligent. Why? He didn't want to stay the way he was, conformed to the world. He wanted to be transformed by the renewing of the mind, see? So, a worldly person, they hear all this on the news, and they start making actions based on that. A person that's been renewed, it doesn't even matter what the world says. What's that got to do with God? Is the Word of God going to change? Brandon, what do you think? You think next week it's still going to say, my God supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you think it'll still say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? That means it won't be in lack of anything. I think it'll still say the same. Worry, just your biggest worry will become, gee, I'm not worrying. You are, I'm not sure this is normal, but I like it. But, you know, yeah, you can actually be transformed. But it's not going to happen by accident, you guys. It doesn't happen by wishing it would happen. It happens by renewing the mind, both by praying in other tongues and by confession of the Word. Now, tonight we're emphasizing especially confession on the Word, because I'm telling you, I know what happened during those months. My praying in tongues time did not go down. I was still doing the praying in tongues. The only variable that changed was the confession. I quit confessing the Word. All right? Let's keep going here. I'll speed it up a little. Yeah, maybe. Okay, I read item 6. Item 7, again, God cannot lie. It is His Word. And listen, y'all, if it's His Word, it's His responsibility to make it good in your life if you hold to it. Again, this is the best example I know, and I'm not doing this, but if I was to say, Kevin, I'm going to come to your house Saturday and wash all the windows in your house. Now, I'm not promising that. I'm just using this as an example. If I tell you that, though, and you say, well, great, cool, okay. Now, when Saturday comes around, whose responsibility is it to get the windows washed? It's mine. It was my word to you, right? And you believed it, right? Okay? So it's not your job, you know, it's not your job to somehow force me to do my end. If I'm a man of my word, not a liar, I'll be there Saturday morning and I'll wash the windows. How many of y'all think God's a man of His word? He's not a man that He could lie. He says, if you give, I'll multiply your seed sown. Okay? Okay? Does everyone in here believe that? How many of you have been prompted in a service? I did already. How many of y'all have ever been prompted in a service? I've always told you before, the second voice is the devil. Something like, give $50. And maybe all you had was $60. And then the second voice comes, you can't do that. Okay? You can't do that, right? Now, let me tell you something. If God tells you to give $50, do you think He knows what He's doing? Do you think He knows what He's doing? Can you say, what does His Word say? Oh, yeah, if He multiplies my seed sown, so that means if He wants me to give $50, He's planning on multiplying back to me more than $50, right? But how many of you have listened to the second voice? I have. Many a time, because my natural mind, even though I know and can teach and have, God multiplies your seed sown. I can't even tell you, especially in years past, how often that would happen. Give $50. That must have been the devil. I can't afford to give $50 or $100, you know, whatever it was.
$100. Yes. So that.
See, now that's, yeah, I'm glad she mentioned that, because now this month in August, with our biggest prosperity, I need to mention this. What was really odd, things happen when you start obeying God. As I was confessing that so much, confessing it, there was times, though, during the month when still things ran a little close. We were at one service, one night, I think it was, and we had $138 to our name. That night, the Lord said, put $100 in the offering. Now, that's that same thing I used to tell you. Where's the second voice? You know? We can't afford to do that, you know. But now, after having lived this way for so long, God says, give $100. I get excited. Glory to God. Give $100. Man, write that puppy right out. Put it in the plate. You know, it was interesting this month, too. He spoke to us more often about other things, little things. He told us one time to take y'all to eat. We didn't even have the money to do it. But we said, okay. And before it came time to do it, somebody slipped us $50. They didn't even know about the whole deal. So we had money to do it.
Just because God wanted me to get to go.
That's right. He was trying to answer your prayer and bless us at the same time. See?
But he should have done it on a different day.
Is that right? Oh, yeah. She was late. But anyway. Anyway. You see, there was lots of opportunities. What I'm saying, there was lots of opportunities that month to obey him. Now, that's important, too. When he does start talking to you, you need to obey what he says, see? Okay. Where was I? Back to the list. I'm going through these pretty quick here. God cannot lie. It is his word. It's his responsibility to make it good in your life if you will hold to it. 8. It transforms your hope into the kind that faith can give substance to. It helps change your vision, what you see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Most people, their hope has been so damaged by the world after having lived 20, 30, 40, 50 years on this planet, and they've seen every kind of thing happen from Aunt Susie dying to their dog get run over to just whatever. You know, hope gets damaged. It gets programmed by the world. Walking the floor and confess. He's doing the same thing with you he did with Abram. Abram, who had never had a child, who had been married all those years to Sarah, who was barren. Okay? But he changed his name to Abraham. So that every time Abraham said his name, it was, I am the father of a multitude. I am the father of a multitude. And that kept working on the inside of him. I am the father of a multitude. Then God took him outside and said, look up at the stars. Your children will be like that. Whoa! I am the father of a multitude. See, it starts changing your vision. Changing what you see. Okay? It's repairing your hope. It's making the kind of hope in you that faith can give substance to. It doesn't do a whole lot of good going around saying, my God supplies all of my need. And then, during your hour of confession or whatever time you do, and then all day long be telling everybody about all the bills you can't pay. That won't work. You're mixing the vision. The Bible says don't mingle the seed. You're mingling the seed. You're not going to get a pure harvest. You're going to get something weird here. Okay? All right. But it does change what you see on the inside. 9, it's a corresponding action to your faith. Okay. I don't think I need to elaborate. Do y'all understand that? It's a corresponding act. Don't tell me you believe that you are a rich person when God asks you to give $5 to somebody and you say you can't afford it. Now, come on. Let's get real. Get real now. What was that I said one night? As long as you see yourself as the neediest person you know, that's the very stronghold God's trying to tear down in you. You are rich. Everyone say, I am rich. Christ didn't bear that poverty. For nothing.
He intends for me
to receive His wealth
in the same way
He intends for me
to receive His health.
And in the same way
that He intends for me
to receive His salvation. He bore all that for the same reason. For you to have it. He was already okay in heaven. You understand that? He didn't have to come here. I mean, He already walked on streets of gold, had jasper walls and diamond doorknobs. He didn't have to come here and be poor for His own sake. He did that so we would always have our bills paid. It hasn't really dawned on us yet, church, who we are. I taught that one night about ambassadors. I may live at 6472 South 32nd West Avenue. That's not where my citizenship is. That is the address of the ambassador home that we live in. I live on 303 Angel Way Drive in heaven, actually, or something like that. You understand what I'm saying? My citizenship is from heaven. I'm just an ambassador here representing the kingdom of God, and we're all that way. Our resources don't even really come from the earth. They come from heaven. But He uses the earth. I'll show you why here in just a minute. Now, let's go on. Item 10. It transforms the lordship of your life from your flesh. What I mean by that, the flesh is always saying, tell it like it is. Face the facts, buddy. Well, I'm facing some facts. What facts? My God supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you want a fact, there's one for you right there. But your flesh is always going, look at your wallet, though. Look at the flat tire. Look at the blown engine or whatever. See? No, you don't understand. My God shall supply all. I worship you, Lord, that you supply all of my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's so wonderful to have three working cars, Lord. Hallelujah. An abundance left over for every good drive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But it transforms the lordship of your life from your flesh, which always wants to tell it like it is, to Jesus, the Logos, the Word, calling those things which be not as though they were. It causes your flesh to die because you quit looking at the things of the flesh, and it causes your spirit man to grow. Speaking the Word is just like eating food. It's food for your spirit. It causes you to grow. Okay. 11. It brain, quote, washes you. How many of y'all think we need our brains washed? Oh, tell me. It cleanses the filthy thinking of the world system from your mind and causes you to think pure thoughts. This is Philippians chapter 4, the whole thing. Think on those things which are lovely and of a good report, if you want to know where I'm getting this. God's thoughts. You start to have in the mind of Christ. 12. When you're confessing the Word, you're eating the Word. Y'all remember the garden? The banana? Y'all remember that? All right. The Word will eventually become flesh. It will become you. You are what you eat in the spirit realm as well as the natural. 13. Jesus, the Logos, the Word, is the way. Confession sets your course like a compass or a thermostat on the wall. The Holy Spirit is the how. He will direct your feet onto the way that you have dictated by your confession. Parentheses, praying in tongues speeds that process up. 14. God works in the... This is Norval. I got this from Norval. I'm not taking credit for it, but it's absolute truth. God works in the earth one way, not two. Get it straight, my brothers and sisters. He works with words. In the beginning, God said. He works with words. Everything that's here was created by them. Word still controls everything. That's the way God works in the earth. Through words. Get His Word coming out your mouth. 15. That you can have what you say. That's Mark 11, 22-24. You can have what you say. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, believes in his heart, shall not doubt that what he says will come to pass. That man shall have whatsoever he saith. Saith. Okay? All right. I put these in bold letters. These are just statements you need to understand. God the Father owns everything. Do you understand that? Everything belongs to the Father. Jesus is Lord, and that means steward, over all the Father's kingdom. But it all, the owner is God. He's got title deed to everything. The devil owns nothing. Do you understand that? Amen. He has no authority from God at all. Amen. What did Jesus say? All authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. The devil has none. God never gave the devil any authority. All he did was operate on the authority that Adam lost. God never gave him any. Okay? He only controls man by deception. Okay? He pressures mankind to trust in his senses. You know what I mean by that? What you see, what you hear, what you feel, that kind of thing. He's always pressuring you to go that way. And he is powerless against the man who will trust God. Now, here it is. There is no such thing as trusting God without trusting God's Word. There's no such thing as that. You're not trusting God unless you're trusting God's Word. Okay? Psalms 34:8. Through 13. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man or woman that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is no want, that means lack, to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing. Now, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Y'all want to know the fear of the Lord? Here it is. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Anybody interested in that? Here it is. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Y'all want long life? Many days? Good days? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. And I put there, speak God's word. Go back to the graph for just a moment. We'll be done. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. I want y'all to see that. How many of y'all would like to see the devil? You ever wanted to really see what that rascal looks like? I can show him to you tonight. Get your graphs. Everyone, really, get your graph. I want you to look. I want to show you the devil. I want to show you where the devil is in this thing. We're always thinking the devil does. We give him way more credit. Give him way more credit. He has no authority over you, and he has no power over you. I'm going to show you the devil in this graph. You ready? See June and July? The devil did not cause my money to go down like we have thought. Well, you know, the devil stole my harvest. The devil did this. Or the devil, somehow he intercepted my blessing. You know, we've had it taught like that, right? No, no. The devil, I listened to him, that liar, in June and July, and I quit obeying God. The only way he can affect you is to get you to quit obeying God. Deception is all he has. He has no power over you. He got me to thinking, pressure's off. We need a vacation. I'm not against vacations. Don't take a vacation from the Word, though. Hey, even if you're on vacation, don't take a vacation in the spirit realm, because the devil, he don't take no vacations. You with me? You with me? Can y'all see him in this? That's all the power he has, is to try and get you off the Word. Off whatever it was God said. That's all he has to do. All he has to do is say, well, you really can't afford to give, you know. I know you love God. God knows, you know. But really, you can't afford to give. See? Okay? And that's the very lie that God's trying to rip out of your consciousness. See? If you really listen to God, where y'all are, God would probably say something, give $5. $10. I don't know what he might say. But the point is that I can't afford it, for, and not just picking on them, this could be anybody. You know. Oh. Sorry about that. The way the devil works is trying to get you to disobey God. When he says something like, as long as he can get you, okay, he got me believing a lie, you don't need to confess the word in June. Okay? It'll be okay anyway. Now, I didn't really think about it like that, but you can tell by my actions, that's how he was working on me. He got me away, see? Well, what I was telling them, in the same way, when he says to you, you really can't afford to give this week. You know, it's been a bad week. This week you can't afford to give your, whatever it is God's told you to give, you know, tithe, offering, even tonight, you know, if he told Tina to give $10 to Kim, if God did. No, he didn't. I just made that up, okay? But if God did, says, you know, Kim, Tina gives $10 to Kim, and Tina goes, yeah, here's the devil. You really can't afford to do that. That probably wasn't God. Okay? You know? Now, that's all he has. If he can hook you there with that kind of thinking and with your natural circumstances backing it up, and you fall for it, that's the only way he can intercept God's blessings. He can't really rob you of God's blessings. He has to do it. He has to get you to do it. by disobeying what God said. Was that clear enough that time? Do you understand it? There's the devil. Look at June and July. That's how he steals from you. That's how he does it. Whatever it is that God's trying to get you to do and the devil can talk you out of it, that right there is how he's stealing your blessings. That's all the power he has. It's really all he has. Okay? Clear enough? Okay. Now in closing. All right. Now, again, I see now one of the reasons the Lord had us, has Sue and I, and he may change that next week, you guys. Don't, you know, I mean, my job is to pray and obey, okay? And then again, he may not. But I see now part of why he did it. He's got a financial laboratory here in our lives to do experiments with. That's pretty obvious. That graph right there, and there's nothing involved. There's no other variables to upset it except just do what he says, and we'll plot it. Okay? Now, that does not mean... That's cool. Don't you think that's neat? We always say, how real is God? You know? I always say, you know, miracles, healing miracles... are medically verifiable, right? I mean, if God heals you, he heals you. Go to the doctor and the new x-rays won't show what the old ones did. You understand what I'm saying? But there's hardly ever been, I've never seen anything like this, you guys, in the financial realm. Have you? I've heard testimonies where I did this and God did that. But on such a regular basis as that, have you ever seen anything like that in your life? How real is God? God in my wallet? Oh, yeah. God will get in your wallet. God will get in your purse and bring money. Hallelujah. God, he'll send you 9 cars if you need it for what he called you to do. You understand what I'm saying? So he's used Sue and I in order to illustrate the reality of the Word. Now, I know that you guys have jobs and things like that. Do you think it would work any different, though, in your life? You start confessing the Word, getting your own mind renewed where the devil can't talk you out of whatever it is God's telling you to do. Get the anointing of Jesus activated in your life where he can start blessing and increasing your giving. Your prosperity will go up the same way. How will he do it? I don't know. That's a Holy Ghost job. I never try and figure out anymore how God's going to do it. My job is to hold on to the Word, speak it out of my mouth, pray in tongues, and obey whatever he tells me. His job is to make it good in my life. Got it?
Got it.
Enough? Did you learn anything?
Amen.
Hallelujah.